Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Kingdoms Queens podcast. We are officially off of a crazy Thanksgiving week. Thank you guys for bearing with us. We are not live on Tuesday, but we are live on Thursday right now. So thanks for tuning in with us here on Kingdoms Queens. It's been a bit of a chaotic week, but there's a lot of good football that happened last week and a lot for us to dive into. We're heading into week 13 and soon Thursday night football will be upon us. But lots of good stuff to talk about this week. So I'm your host, Lexi.
I'm Christy.
Hey, y'all. I'm Jody. What's up? So let's get into it. Like we said, last week was a crazy week in the NFL. And it's Thursday. Oh, my God. It's so weird to be here right now because it threw my whole entire day off. But let's kind of go into it and recap some of the games that we did see from last week. Why don't y'all kick us off?
I just think it's funny, funny is probably not the right word, but I know the Lions this year, they have been kind of like this Cinderella story. They've been, everyone thinks hey, these guys are a contender and there's no way they're going to lose on Thanksgiving this year. And then they just got annihilated by the Packers.
They were the old Lions again.
It was this is one tradition we can't break. So right. That was just a really crazy to see that offense get stalled out like it did. Because, they're a really good offense. And it was just a weird, interesting game. But, it felt like tradition. And it just, there's that homey feel to it. And, I appreciated it a little bit for that. So. But poor Lions fans, they were probably just every year,
some traditions really never die, right?
Mm-hmm.
I actually had a perfect viewing experience of this Lions-Packers game. So I actually went out to California to see my sister for Thanksgiving, and I was flying Southwest, and Southwest, shout out to their Wi-Fi, right? So I get on the plane, 11:30 a.m. takeoff, Lions-Packers game kicks off at 11:30 a.m. And Southwest Wi-Fi allowed me to watch that game in full, live, and it was perfect. So I was watching that game as soon as we took off, and then it was about a 3.5-hour flight, a little less than that. So it was the perfect amount of travel time. And then our flight landed as soon as the game ended.
Flying on Thanksgiving is psycho.
It's crazy. But it actually worked out so well. I got to watch
the entire time.
And honestly, our entire plane, I would say half the plane was watching the game. So it was pretty fun. That kind of made it fun.
No, that game was a hot mess.
So Jared Goff with 3 picks is crazy. The Packers looked really good, so I'm excited to talk about that game coming up for us. It was a good game overall. It was entertaining to say the least. It was very up and down. Packers looked very dominant. They came out with a purpose, and with all their injuries, especially. So their young receiving corps is stepping up a lot. So that was a fun game to watch. So I was not mad about that, just watching that to pass away the time on the plane.
Seriously. Well, some more news broke today. It looks like Zach Ertz is free. He is a free man. He is no longer with the Cardinals, and everybody is begging for him to come to the tight end for them. As much as I would love for him to come to Kansas City so we could do heavy personnel, tight end sets. 13 personnel, things that make me very, very happy since, Blake Bell is who Blake Bell is. I think he's going to really end up with the Ravens since they're down with Mark Andrews. I know a lot of
people. What about Philly with Goddard being out, though?
Well, yeah, a lot of people are saying the Eagles, too.
Kind of makes sense.
Either one of those places would be a really good destination.
Correct.
For him.
And I mean, to be fair, his wife did just retire, right? And I believe that they do live in the city of Philadelphia as well. So, I mean, that is something that could be very appeasing to him. I personally think the Cardinals are weird, not weird, but I feel like they could have got something for him, right? Like, they could have got at least a 6th round pick for him, right?
Right. And if it had happened at the trade deadline, yeah.
I mean, but they just waived him, so.
Well, you can't trade him now. We're past the trade deadline. Well,
no, it's way too late. But the point is that they should have held on to him, and they probably would have been able to get something for him in the offseason.
Yeah.
Just really surprised that they were just like, eh. Because anyway, y'all go ahead.
Yeah, no, same. Like, you know, I kind of see him going, like you said, Jody, either to the Ravens or the Eagles. I think they both have a tight end need, and they are both contenders. So, I like Zach Ertz. He's definitely not the Zach Ertz of old. You know, like, how big of an impact is he really going to make at this point? But I don't know. It'll be interesting to see where he lands. I don't see him landing here because we do have – you know, the 3 tight ends already. And I know how we all feel about, well, maybe not all, but how a lot of us feel about Blake Bell. Not the greatest feelings about him and his skill set, but you know, I would prefer him over him, but I just don't see Blake Bell going anywhere just to bring this guy in. So.
And Beach isn't going to do it. I don't care how cheap he is.
I know.
Beach isn't going to go out.
He's not going to do it. We don't do that. We don't sign people. Yeah.
So Chiefs Kingdom, hold your horses. It's probably not going to happen.
Yeah.
For me, I would absolutely love to see him here. I think he would be a blast with Travis and Noah in that tight end room. I think Blake, as we all have said, by a country mile. Exactly.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. God knows how long those are. Woo!
But, you know, but it would be so uncharacteristic for the Chiefs to go get him. So I expect him to be a Raven or an Eagle. Coming up very soon here.
Yep, same.
Where do you think he ends up at? Which team do you think specifically he goes to?
Probably Ravens, if I had to actually.
I kind of feel the same. I feel like if he could choose, like if let's say he got offers from both and they're similar, he'd probably choose Philadelphia just because it is home and he's been there. He was an Eagle. But for whatever reason, I feel like Ravens can definitely – you know, I feel like the Ravens are going to be able to sign him to a better position. So,
and that's kind of what the Ravens do. And honestly, the Eagles too. So like they tend to sign those older guys that are wanting to playoff contend, which I think we have done, but it seems to be on defense that we do that.
Yeah. But it seems like now we're all about getting younger every season. And so we're not signing these like veteran guys anymore. Like, we'll go with the rookies.
I'm just really talking about last season where it was like Brandon Williams and Carlos Dunlap
on
defense that we did that. But other than that, we are not known for signing older guys to our team. So it would shock me if we got him, but I do think he'd be fun in our offense. Yeah.
If he ended up going to the Eagles, I would have to ask how much help does Jalen Hurts need? Because
gosh, I hate that question. I see that so often with Mahomes.
Ugh. How much help does Mahomes need?
Man, well, wherever he goes, he literally picked probably the best time ever to be like, get me off of this team and to go somewhere else, because there are a lot of teams who are desperate for tight end help right now. And you know, he's not going to go anywhere and be the first. You know what I mean? He's going to go wherever and play in that second or that third role, and that's perfectly fine. You know, whatever impact he makes will be enough. It'll be more than whatever these teams are dealing with right now. So wherever he goes is going to be a positive for him. So shout out to him for being like that. Yeah, get me out of this terrible situation.
Gotta respect him for that. I wouldn't want to be there either. So,
I love that JJ Watt was the one to break the news.
I do too.
This is easy, Adam Schefter.
I love it. I want him to. Anyway, let's transition. So today the Chiefs, they did sign another running back to the practice squad, Keiontre Ingram from the Cardinals. And it's so funny because a lot of people were like, wrong Cardinals players. So that was funny. because everybody wanted Earth. But what do you guys thoughts about bringing him on as another running back? Again, probably just to the practice squad to start off. McKinnon was in practice today. He was limited. So that kind of makes everybody feel a little bit better. But what are your thoughts about bringing him? He did have some really good film.
Can I just say real quick that is such a Veach thing to do? To like have Cardinals release Zach Ertz and then Veach to be like, let's sign this guy off the Cardinals. And
then put him on the practice squad. It was very much put a blindfold on and throw a dart. And that's the guy we want.
Should tell us right there that we're not going to sign Zach Ertz.
So. Yeah, exactly.
The only thing I can think of with this running back, because it's not like we're not deep in running back. Like we've got people already that, you know, so
yeah.
The only thing I can think of is if maybe he runs similarly to someone we will be seeing in the future, and maybe they want to use him on like scout team or something. Cause I saw the signing and I just was like, why?
It was the most random thing I've ever
seen. It was so random. And it's just like, he wasn't even, I know, like, here's the thing. Cardinals went down Connor for a while. And then I forget who stepped in. I had him in fantasy, but he hasn't done anything. Faces back. This guy wasn't even the guy to take to go up when Connor got injured. So it's like, why would we sign this guy when we are so deep at running back unless we're using him for like scout team or something? I just don't understand it, but I don't know.
I fully don't understand it. At all. And I really tried to wrap my mind around the reasoning behind it, because I feel like if you're going to just go out and get a random guy for the practice squad, then you would maybe go get like either another left or right tackle or a tight end or a receiver. So to go running back, it really threw me for a loop, because I don't understand what the logic was for Veach at this point.
Yeah, I'm sure there's some twisted mind game that he's playing that makes sense, but
you were all going to be like, okay.
Yeah. Like, Veach, please tell us. We're all very curious.
It makes me a tiny bit concerned of, like, is Jerick McKinnon more hurt than we think? Or is there some kind of weird, I don't know.
I asked that question earlier because I know a groin injury isn't easy to deal with. And I know that's not easy to overcome either. But he was limited in practice today. So that made me think, okay, well, maybe he is trending to be health better than we thought. But
yeah, I feel like they always went with McKinnon. I feel like, didn't he have some kind of groin issue last year too?
He did.
Like, I feel like this is kind of not necessarily the same injury, but I feel like it happens to him more often. And I know he's an older back, but I mean, he got a groin injury, and I just feel like we haven't really used him much this season yet. And I know he scored all those touchdowns last year in December. Like, that was his month, right?
Oh yeah.
But nine, which is crazy. But I don't know. Like, I feel like they're just, you know, him not practicing the other day was very precautionary. And, you know, it just Aaron's comment made me laugh as a Sporting KC fan. So that was funny.
Well, so true. While we're talking about the AFC West, so the Chargers, bottom of the division, no one expected that at all. Broncos making their way up in the division. No one expected that at all. So what are you guys' thoughts about the AFC West and how it's kind of rounding out now that we're finally at 13? Because, A, who the heck are the Broncos? And how do they decide to start winning 5 games in a row all of a sudden?
They beat us. That's what happened. They're like, oh, we're hot stuff now.
Oh, yeah.
We put a battery in their back. We put a battery in their back. Miami's back. A few teams. The Lions back. We put a battery in everybody's back this season. So,
yeah, I mean, I know last week I talked about how I didn't believe in the Raiders and that I believed in the Broncos more than I believed in the Raiders. And I don't know. I feel like the Raiders, like, let me phrase it better this way. The Broncos have a serious head coach. He knows how to do his job. He has proven success in the NFL. And he also has a quarterback who's playing much better this season. I know people don't want to recognize it because he's not playing phenomenal, but he is playing better this season than he was last season. And it seems like we did light this spark, especially in the defense of the Broncos, because I don't think their offense is necessarily doing anything different than they were.
Crazy,
but it seems like their defense has really like found a rhythm. And so Denver is a team where if they were to squeak into the playoffs, if we were to end up having to play them in the playoffs, that game is going to be ugly because we know how much they hate us and we know how much they want to beat us and how happy they were that they beat us this last game. And you can't blame them for that. But I don't take the Chargers seriously. They just cannot win the big game. They cannot seem, I mean, they're bad right now. They are Staley. They are I'm waiting for him to get fired. Honestly, I don't know how he still has a job.
The rumor is that he should be let go in the offseason, but it's like, what's taking y'all so long? So many other there's so many coaches who have been fired already this season so far.
Yeah.
So I mean, but then it's like, what if you fire Staley, then who runs the show?
Maybe there is no one to run the show, and that's the problem.
Is that who you really, your first year offensive coordinator? Is that who you really want to go run the show?
Yeah. I just feel bad for Herbert because I know he makes some big mistakes at the end of games that cost them wins and whatnot. But also, how many coordinators has he been through? And like, he doesn't have a good head coach. Like, he is such a talented quarterback, and they have a lot of talent on that team, and for them to have the kind of roster they have and have the record they have year after year after year, it just does not make sense.
I think it definitely comes down to Staley, honestly. Yeah. Because if you give Justin Herbert and Andy Reid, he's a different player.
Oh, totally.
Yeah. However, and I've said this for a really long time, I like Justin Herbert a lot, but he just doesn't have that like crazy mentality. Yeah. Yeah,
he doesn't have that over my dead body moment.
No. Not at all.
I can't think of one moment where he's been like, okay, let me put this on my back. Let me take over this game and let me win this game. Because
the game that he should have did that was last year in the AFC division game.
Yeah.
Is that the division game? No, that wasn't the division game. It was a wild card. That's the game he should have went and did that, and he did not. So that game kind of showed me everything that I needed to see.
Justin Herbert, he has the arm talent. He has the athleticism. He just does not have the clutch gene in him.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
I was not expecting them to be last in our division, I will say.
I wasn't either.
Talking, but I think that does come down to like coaching and stuff too. So I think the Broncos, we definitely gave them that momentum to go on this win streak that they're having. I think they could sneak into the playoffs. It's a very weird Broncos have like, I was looking at their schedule. They have a few easy games and a few hard games coming up.
Yeah. So,
like, honestly, I think we'll talk about it later, but they have the Texans coming up this week, which
that's going to be a great good game.
I was watching something on ESPN earlier, and we could talk about this later. I don't really want to get into it now, but they said something about, like, if the Broncos lose to the Texans this week, they have a 13% chance of making the playoffs, to where I think it said if they win, they have, like, a 60%. But if the Texans lose, they still have, like, a 40% chance of making it versus if they win, they're, like, in. So I was like, interesting. So this game is definitely more needed for the Broncos than the Texans. But let's go ahead and recap last week. Chiefs-Raiders with a victory in Vegas, 31-17, and we pulled out the W. So let's kind of get into it. Let's start off with the offense. Last week, the offense kind of looked like the old Chiefs offense again. It's like, starting in the second quarter, right? So they finally kind of started playing Chiefs football.
This is where, to me, it actually felt like Chiefs football because we're used to them being behind and then taking the lead. And you know what? I felt more comfort in that.
I did too.
I did not. I was like, oh my God, why are we down?
Well, I didn't at first. But once I came around to it, then I was like, look, they look great.
My question to y'all is, do you think we would have looked that good if every receiver was healthy and we were down 14?
This is something I know here we have talked about, and I know a lot of Chiefs Kingdom has talked about this, how the Chiefs really need to narrow down who they're utilizing on offense, right? They're trying to spread the ball out to too many people. It's lack of consistency, and not enough reps are going to the guys that need to get the ball who are playmakers, right? Well, this game, a majority of the reps went to Rashee Rice, Travis Kelce, and then Justin Watson. You had some Noah Gray sprinkled in there, and then you had some Sky Moore sprinkled in there, along with Pacheco obviously running the ball, which he ran the ball, and they did not stop running the ball in the second half, which has not happened. I swear this season, not we like stopped running the ball in the second half, and that's when our problem occurred. So I really think all those guys being out even though they're not getting all the targets necessarily, they're getting a lot of snaps and routes. I feel like them being able to just focus on like these like four main guys was huge. And really the three main guys were, you know, Rashee Rice, Travis Kelce, and Pacheco. Those were the three guys. And that's how most teams operate, right? Like they don't have 12 wide receivers they're trying to hit every single game. I know that's a dramatic number, but that is what it seems like we do every game. And it's like, we finally got a 100-yard wide receiver. We haven't had one all season. And Travis Kelce was right up there too. So Rashee Rice being able to take those targets really took a lot of that pressure off of Pacheco as well as Travis Kelce. Travis Kelce was able to get utilized in the game more because they were focusing more on Rashee Rice because they're like, oh crap, this guy's a playmaker too.
Yeah.
So that to me, I feel like had all those other guys been in, we may not have seen that, but maybe we would have. I know it's hard. You know, we're not fortune tellers. We can't read the future and whatnot, but I loved them dialing it in to less targets. I thought that was a huge improvement and an improvement we've been asking for all season long.
Yeah, I just think we've needed that consistency, right? Of having a second guy aside from Pacheco, because Pacheco's still a running back. So right. You need that guy that's wide receiver that makes the impact that we haven't had. And, you know, we had it last year with Juju. And I think that's where Rashee Rice is coming in really strong. But the exciting part about him is we have him for many more years to come.
Yeah, he's a baby.
So, yeah, I'm super excited about him. I think we've seen it all season long, and most of us knew this was going to be the case with him from like game three or four, where you see those flashes from him and from Rashee Rice, and he's showing that he can be that wide receiver for us. But we had so many different options that I feel like you said, it was like there was just never consistency. And it's not that we need to see 10 different wide receivers during a game. Like, we don't need to see all of that.
Right.
I want to see someone that can show consistency and can be that threat to take pressure off of Kelce. And because that's really the only, I mean, you have Isaiah Pacheco and he can run those little screens and he's obviously very talented, but you needed that next person to step up and be that guy. And I think it's definitely him. So I'm very excited about that. I don't know. Have we heard about Kadarius Toney's?
He practiced today.
So he's good. So I feel like whenever we get back into it, I don't know, with the Packers, I hope we see a lot of Rashee, a lot of Travis. I really liked Noah Gray. Yep.
We've been talking Noah Gray up this whole season here on Kingdom's Queen. So agreed. Yeah.
We love Noah Gray. I'm loving seeing more of him on this team, just being active. So I think with those few players, if you get them being consistent and then can work with other wide receivers in there, I think that's the key.
Yeah, I agree with everything y'all said, so I'm not going to repeat it. But I think for me, the biggest thing the offense needs to, and I think I've been saying this for the last like 2 or 3 weeks, they need to be able to play a full 60 minutes. I think it's ridiculous that we have to play from behind to be a good team. We should be able to be a good team no matter what. We should be able to go out and put points on the board and not get bored, or Andy slow down the play calling or whatever it is. And we should be able to hold a lead and still beat a team without having these issues. So it would be nice if, you know, whatever game plan it was that we came up with for the Raiders, I think that is what we really need to move with going forward for the remainder of the season. But
minus the opening script.
Yeah, but just staying consistent for a full game, like playing for 45 minutes. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Playing for 45 minutes is a problem. I was like, how many minutes are in a quarter? So it's really important, because being honest, this team, if we would have had this, I don't know, if this offense did not get itself together, our defense, they did not come out hot either. So what if our defense never got on track this week?
Right.
Then we would have been trying to figure out a way to come out of whatever hole we were in. So, you know, I'm going to go ahead and transition to the defense. Thank goodness that the defense, they did kind of, it just clicked for them all of a sudden in the second quarter. And it could be that big play that happened for Snead. His one coverage where he got blown out and Davante Adams had a huge catch against him. But I think that is what kind of turned it on for them. And they were like, all right, like, we got to get serious and we got to really lock down and be who we are as a defense. So I will say, but at the same time, the defense has been good so long since week one. So I wouldn't be surprised if they did come out and have like a rough start or knocking rust off, because they've been so good so consistently for so long. And this offense is what we're used to. We're used to the offense holding this team together, and now it's the defense. So, you know, there's just so many things to take away from this game. But I think that the offense just needs to figure out how to come out, start hot, and end hot. And it would be nice if we could.
I want to add to that, just like with our defense, it reminded me a little bit of the Chargers game that we played at home a few weeks ago, where the defense started out really slow. The Chargers kind of ran all over us. Raiders did the same thing. The receivers were making big plays, and then our defense figured out how to adjust, which thank God they do that.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's like these are really, really good wide receivers we're facing. So they are bound to make a play or two on you. And they did. Davante Adams is freaking phenomenal, and he has been for
many
years.
One of the best receivers in the freaking league. So I'm not surprised.
Yeah. Not surprised
at all. And that just kind of tells you about L'Jarius Sneed and how, like, good he is. He's really a lockdown corner.
Very good.
For him to be able to have this, and I'll get into it later because he is my player of the game, but for him to be able to have this level of production week after week against these number one corners and not letting any of these dudes come in here and score a touchdown on him is, like, incredible. So let's kind of talk about that defense and Spags, how he's able to make those adjustments to where if they come out sleepwalking, they were able to adjust and be able to lock down and held them to no points. Well, 3 points in the second half.
I mean, did you guys notice that we had, like, George Karloftis and Derek Nnadi in coverage on a few?
Yeah.
Yeah. Love that.
Love that.
But I mean, George Karloftis had a hell of a game. You know what I mean? Yeah.
So, he did. Yes, he did.
And so did Drew Tranquill.
Actually, yeah.
Drew Tranquill.
Yeah, I'll say that there are two things I wanted to add to our offense and I didn't get the chance. And I'm going to add them just real quick. One, I think our offense has been missing that element of fun. And we got to see a little bit of that. And I know we all would have been so mad had that play not worked. We would have been like, stop being cute and just play football.
I know.
But and there's that element of fun that I feel like this team has been missing. And we got to see that. And just real quick, with that spark, that like fire and intensity, I feel like we've missed too, unless we see Pacheco run, where we got to see Jay Watson just, you know, get laid out and get back up. And then he got in that guy's face. We've missed kind of that element of like, y'all aren't going to push me around. You're not going to stop me. Not like the penalty aspect of it, because we've got plenty of that, but we've missed that. So anyway, I'm going to transition to the defense as well.
No, I agree. I think we needed the fun back there.
Yeah,
I think it reinstills that confidence in our offense too. So I was really happy to see that.
Yeah, for sure. With our defense, like you guys said, like Davante Adams, we still held him. I know he had that big run, but we still held him to like, what, 70 something yards? So under
100.
Yeah, under 100 yards.
Yeah.
I think we might be the only, I think we are the only defense in the NFL. It's like 25 or 26 points where every team we have held 24 points. Okay. So we're the only defense in the NFL that has held the opposing team to under 24 points the entire NFL. And we're in week 13. That's a big stat. And it was kind of interesting to see like our defense come out. And like you guys said, first quarter, not great. Like it was like, oh my gosh, like the Raiders are going just down the field. We're not stopping them. But starting in the second half, our defense came out and they made some major adjustments really in the end of the second quarter. They started making some major adjustments, and knowing that they can make those adjustments on the fly like that and really turn the game, like that was huge, because normally it seems like we hold teams to nothing in the first half or very little. And then the second half, when the offense can't get off the field or can't stay on the field and the defense can't get off the field, we start letting up some points. But this was opposite. And it was really nice to kind of see that, hey, they can do it this way too, where they can fix things that weren't working in the beginning part of the game and completely shut them down in the second half. And that was really good to see as well. So it might have been really ugly at first, but I think it was a good test for our defense as well to be like, hey, we're not looking so hot, and to completely turn it around and just shut the game down, because that was really great to see. I love it. And now that we know that Nick Bolton is back practicing, I doubt we'll see him, you know, we're not going to see him this week, but, and maybe not even next week, but the fact that he's back practicing that's a big deal, even though Willie Gay and Nick Bolton and even Leo Chanel, they have done a killer job holding down the fort while he's been gone. But yeah, it's been great.
Yeah, it's going to be tough next year trying to figure out which guys we can keep and which guys won't be able to stay on this team, because there's a lot of them who have been really good, especially coming in and being able to relieve some of the guys who have either been injured or, you know, didn't play, for instance, Chris Jones. So, you know, it's going to be tough to see some of those guys go to other teams next year, because unfortunately, we're probably not going to be able to keep everybody.
I think I really want to see this team do so well this season is because our defense is so freaking good, and they just connect so well.
It's a brotherhood. It's a chemistry.
Yeah, so, and I think it's funny because, like you guys said, like this season, it's like I'm not used to yelling at the defense. So this first quarter or so, I was like yelling. I'm like, wait, what is happening? Why are they running all over us? Like, Josh Jacobs was running all over us, and it was definitely frustrating to see that first little bit of the game. But
no, it was definitely frustrating, but I think that goes back to the offense. They couldn't stay on the field, and if the offense can't stay on the field and let these guys get some rest, then it's like, what do you expect from the defense? So both sides of the ball definitely determine what the game is going to be for the other side of the ball, and I'm just glad to see that the defense could keep eventually getting the ball back to the offense so they could go out and execute, because it was very scary at first. And
part of me thinks
Max Crosby, I want to talk about Max Crosby not playing and then playing and then having a sack. Yeah. So, I mean, that kind of just shows the effect of how good he is as a player. It kind of makes you think, like with Chris Jones with us, it's like when Chris Jones, even if he's only playing 30% of the snaps, 30% of the time that he's on the field, he's making a big difference. Yeah. And we've seen that with Max Crosby this week. The little bit of time he was out there, he was wrecking. So, I'm glad he wasn't 100% this past week, just being honest.
Yeah, for sure. I think, Max Crosby is a difference maker all the time. So the fact that he was, like you said, unhealthy and still playing us speaks volumes to the player that he is. And I think Chiefs fans in general, we have a lot of respect for him. Just the rivalry we have, the way that he and Patrick kind of keep up that Chiefs Raiders rivalry. I just love it.
I wish he was a Chief.
Yeah. Would love for him to be a Chief. Yeah. I think secretly he wishes he was, but he's not. Secretly. So, you know, it is what it is. But I do think our defense a little bit overlooked this team. I think they looked at Aiden O'Connell, right? And so they're like, okay, we don't have to take it too seriously.
Look up a picture of Aiden O'Connell, and he looks like a baby-faced Derek Carr without the eyeliner. Like,
just better.
Like, that was the first thing I saw. I was like, oh, he's like a baby-faced, like, Derek Carr. And I was like, he's got eyeliner, and he got his – weird brother, you know, it was weird. Same number.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's my cat. She's really annoying. I'm sorry, guys.
I'm cracking up. Let's go ahead and get into your players of the game for the Raiders game before we go to the next game.
Yes.
My player of the game, and this should come as no surprise. Y'all know I'm a huge Rashi Rice person, fan, everything. Rashi Rice had a heck of a game. He was one of the highest rated rookies in the NFL this week. Over 100 yards, touchdown. He just looked like the part. And I'm very excited. I'm hoping we keep him targeted like we did this last game. And I understand it was the Raiders, but he was making some fantastic plays, yards after catch plays. And like his touchdown, the amount of strength he had to show – being grabbed by the jersey, pulled back, and he just kept going. Like, there was no, it was, I'm just really high on Rashee Rice, guys. I love him so freaking much. And he played a phenomenal game. And he finally got targeted the way we've been asking him to be targeted this whole season. So please keep feeding Rashee Rice. Give us all the rice, please. All the rice.
Please. Overdose on rice, please.
Overdose on rice, please. And he's just, I'm sorry, like, his smile could power the whole city. Like, he's just, I'm really excited. He just, like, he's so adorable. And the first thing he did, because I think he was mic'd up for that game. First thing he did after his touchdown, he came and said, hey, thanks to Mr. MBS. His block is what got me in the end zone. So, like, yeah, he's already, he's pulling out or pointing out other players on the team when it was, you know, it's just, he just seems like such a great teammate. And he just seems so happy to be there and just really excited for the opportunity. And I just,
yeah, I think
nothing but good things to say about him.
He has all the self-awareness too. Like, he knows he's making the biggest impact as a rookie that we've had in a long time as Chiefs fans. And he knows, I mean, I think Rashee respects MVS and guys like that have been there for a little while. And he, you know, but he knows he's also performing very well. So we love Rashee Rice. My player of the game is Isaiah Pacheco. I feel like he right now is the heart and soul of our offense. He is the guy that I never worry about. Like, I just know he's going to play his heart out. I know he's going to run as hard as he can. He's going to score touchdowns when he can. He was close to probably 3 touchdowns, had 2 total, had 55 yards, which it seemed like he actually had more than that, but I guess it
was
55. Right. But yeah, rushing yards. Correct. But it just, he just is so much fun to watch every single play. It's like, you know, he's going to go down. He's going to go down hard and he gets right back up. And I think Travis Kelce said in his podcast this week, he's like, I try to go over and help Pacheco up off the ground, but he's like, before I can even get there, he's already up. He's popped off. And that's why we call him Pop. Right, little Poppy. So he just pops right up after every hit. He's so on the watch. 2 touchdowns, cannot go. I mean, that's incredible.
Yeah.
So all the love for you, Isaiah Pacheco. Thank you for bringing that energy we need to the offense every single week, even when we're kind of looking like we might not do as well. He just is the one guy you can look at and be like, I know he's going to do something. Like, you just know it. So I love Isaiah Pacheco. He's so much fun to watch every single week, week in and week out, and then 2 touchdowns. Just phenomenal. Thank you for carrying our running back room at the moment. You know what? Quick little shout out to Clyde, because he actually has done well these last few weeks. He almost had a touchdown for us this week.
Yeah. He has played well the last couple of weeks.
Just short, but, you know, Clyde has done well the last couple of weeks, so... shout out to him too, but I feel like they have good energy in our running back room right now. Mm-hmm. We'll see with, you know, the guy we brought in from the Cardinals. We'll see if he does anything and see. I mean, I expect Jerick McKinnon to come back pretty soon, but yeah.
My player of the game is Legarius Sneed. Led the defense in tackles with 9. He had 7 solo tackles. Again, the first half was rough for him, but he definitely, I mean, in the defense, like we talked about, but he definitely made those adjustments. Held Davante Adams to 0 catches in the second half, which is freaking incredible because he's probably a top 3 receiver in the NFL right now. That kind of tells you how much Sneed is as a player. Like, he has been executing at an extremely high level every single week, and we are very grateful for him. But with that being said, he for the season, he has had 404 snaps. He's allowed 0 touchdowns to any receiver. So if that also tells you a little bit about Legarius Sneed, he is like that.
Locked down.
People do not know who he is. They are slowly starting to learn who he is. He was also mic'd up this past week in Vegas, and he is just hilarious. I don't think I realized how funny he was until I watched it a couple of times. And he's just really a positive leader on the defense. He's full of energy on the sideline, sitting and singing. And I will say the one thing that I think I love the most is him and Trent McDuffie's relationship. You could tell they have a tight-knit relationship. And I know that they're all like a brotherhood, but they kind of come across like best friends. They kind of come across like they're best friends. So it's really just good to see like their relationship and how they both motivate each other, push each other. They both say that they want to be like the other one. They you can tell they just have like a really great friendship. So I'm very high on L'Jarius Sneed. I know before the season started, a lot of people were like, he's probably not going to be able to come back after next year. But I think it's really important that we figure out a way to keep him and keep this cornerback room together, because he's definitely leading it in a way and teaching the guys around him how to be great. And I also think that the young guys are really pushing his limits so he can be the leader that he is kind of learning to develop into as well. So shout out to L'Jarius Sneed for being a freaking
ball. He's one that I hope we can keep. I know we can't keep everyone, but he's one I hope we can.
100%. Please. So let's go ahead and get into it. This week, we are week 13, Chiefs versus Packers in Lambeau. This is going to be Patrick Mahomes' first time playing in Lambeau Field, and I have no clue what the temperature is going to be, but it's cold in Kansas City. So I'm
going to be in the 30s.
Oh, that's not bad. They'll be fine.
I was the report. It looks like it's me like 30s and rainy, potential snow.
Yeah,
so, love that.
Love a good snow game,
Pacheco, baby.
Love a freaking good snow game. So
especially in Green Bay, like that's such a.
I've always wanted to go to that stadium, and it's so funny because I was listening to 610 Radio earlier today, and I was cracking up because they were talking about how small the city is. They were like, Green Bay. Not as big as you think it is. Like, it ain't this like big city. You're gonna go there and see all these things and think it's like this an amazing thing. It's not. You're gonna go there, you're gonna be surprised. The stadium is in this very, very small town, and then you're gonna want to leave because there's gonna be nowhere to go get food or anything like that after. So the
high for the day is 38, the low for the night is 25, and a little chance.
That's not too bad.
Yeah, that was literally
here. That's Kansas City weather. So,
what day did it snow here? Saturday?
That was Friday, Saturday.
I wasn't here.
Saturday, Sunday. Yeah.
We'll be fine. Those boys will learn how to adjust. So,
we'll be fine.
What are you guys' quick thoughts about going to Lambeau? Patrick, again, Pat's first time there, but he loves a good snow game. So, I'm not worried about him playing in any element of weather at all. But what do you think about the receivers playing in cold weather? Rashee Rice is a Texas boy, right? So Kansas City's probably the coldest it's ever been for him. Not really sure about, well, Scott Moore comes from California. So he should, anyway, I would like to not see him this week. So
I'm not concerned about this weather at all, honestly, for our guys. I mean, if you've been in Kansas City, you've been in this weather. So that's, to me, I don't see a problem. I will say, talking about the Packers and their receivers, Jordan Love has been playing much better. Like, the Green Bay Packers have been playing a lot better than they were at the beginning of the season. Now, there is a guy, his name is Jaden Reed. I don't know if many people know who that guy is. He's one of the wide receivers on their team, but he is utilized rushing and receiving, and he is a difference maker, and he is not practiced. So he has a chest injury, and he is looking like he could potentially be doubtful for that game. So that would be a really big loss for the Packers. Not saying they don't have other guys, but I mean, he's been a big difference maker, like a big difference maker.
I'm really hoping like Christian Watson doesn't go off on us. Like, please.
I think he will, but
I think that he's going to be the guy who they're going to force feed. When it comes to the receivers, because he is that bigger body dude who can go up, jump up, go get the ball, land in the end zone, not drop it, not fumble. So I wouldn't be surprised if, and I mean, Sneed's gonna lock that down, but I wouldn't be surprised if that's the guy that they didn't go to force feed.
Sneed on Reed.
If he plays. She was talking about Watson, Christian Watson.
Yeah.
I know. I had to get my rhyme in there.
We love your rhyme. It was beautiful.
But nobody lives for my rhymes. No, I don't know. I think I actually like the way we should. I can't even talk right now.
We match up.
I like it a lot.
I really like it. I think it's going to be a really fun game. They played us well a few years ago when Aaron Rodgers went out and they were here at Arrowhead.
Yeah, it was supposed to be, you know, like this.
A blowout, but it wasn't. I think their defense has slept on a little bit. I think they have a lot of good guys.
McDuffie. And I keep getting confused. They got a McDuffie?
Right.
I'm like, you got a McDuffie too?
Is this Prince brother? Like, what are we doing? I think it's going to be a great game. I think it's going to be a great matchup. I watched that game on the plane from start to finish with zero distractions. So I like really watched this Packers team, and I think they are beatable. I think the Lions just played them really sloppily.
We all have that game that we're just like, what happened?
Totally.
Why?
Totally.
Yeah. Maybe it was the turkey. I don't know.
Honestly, like maybe it was, yeah, the lack of focus on Thanksgiving and whatever it was. But I think I don't see Mahomes turning the ball over three times, knock on wood.
Oh my gosh.
I always make us knock on wood, but it always works out. Knock on wood again.
I don't know if this is real wood, the table.
I got a wood desk. I got you covered.
I want to say also, again, shout out freaking Harrison Butker has been lights out. Knock on wood again.
I did a Harrison Butker appreciation post the other day too, and I was like, I probably missed him. But I'm like, first of all, he's not missed at all. So like, I know people say that Justin Tucker. I know that people say that Justin Tucker is the best kicker in the league, but he is not. It is Harrison Butker.
It is disrespecting my kicker.
Stop it.
Like, everybody's hyping him up over that kick he had 2 or 3 years ago, which was amazing, right? But that was a really long time ago, Justin.
And also, Harrison Butker had one 2 yards shorter of that. So I don't even
know. And does it more consistently. So we don't go there. Sorry.
Knocking constantly. It's poor, fine.
Chrissy's hand's probably red. So we're going to go there. We're going to give my kicker some love too, because he's been balling.
He deserves it. Taking over for one and a half kicks.
Right. And it is like, I do want to wait until the end of the season to fully give him a shout out, because then we can say it without any implications of jinxing him, right?
I mean, if all I said, just put Justin Reed in a kick.
He's so freaking good. He's so freaking good.
Guys, my hand hurts. Stop it.
Just shout out to Harrison Butker. So, if Kadarius Toney,
everybody listening, you knock on wood too, okay?
Yeah, we're
all gonna have to ice our knuckles after this podcast today.
Me and Lexi are like, first of all, he deserves. Everybody's like,
he does, but I get it. It's like the biggest jinx in the NFL is like complimenting your kicker. I don't know why, but it just is. But yeah. I don't know. But I will say, so with Richie James being back and then Kadarius Toney probably being back this week, who do you guys think will be back there? Richie?
They want it to be Richie.
They want it to be Richie.
If Richie's going to go out there, the wood is close, right?
The what?
The wood is, because I was...
I got a whole desk. We're good.
So the problem is KT cannot go back there. Literally, KT had, which didn't even realize, he had like a hip and an ankle injury. And now he's supposed to be back. And you're going to take him to Green Bay where it is cold, which I know he played in New Jersey, New York, wherever. I know he played up there. But literally anything he does is going to tweak anything that's happening to him. So I don't want to see KT, period. Like, you can dress. That's cool. Stay on the side. Don't put your just wear the shells. Don't wear your heavy pads, right? And Richie James, I feel like I haven't seen him in years, so I'm just not sure what he's gonna be.
The last game I remember seeing him is when he fumbled the ball,
which was what game? Like week
two,
like four, two, three.
That was week two.
Week 13. So at this point, I don't want to see you either. Like, love you, mean it.
Who are you gonna put back there, Sky Moore?
Well, that's who was back there last week, Sky Moore and
Washington, right?
And I would rather see Washington. If we're going to do anything, right, keep Darnell Washington back there. That's why y'all elevated him off the practice squad in the first place.
I thought it was interesting how they had two guys back there returning. Like potential.
Because they figured one of them was going to drop it.
That was weird.
It was insurance.
It's just, you know what? Overall, it's just been a really weird year for.
I don't want to see KT back there. I don't want to see KT. I don't want to see Richie James. I don't want to see either one of them. Actually, I would be okay if KT was back there if he didn't, like, be extra. Just literally fair catch
the ball. He scares me. I know he can be electric, but the way he moves and where those balls are flailing everywhere, I'm just like, I'm like constantly saying, please hold on to the ball. Please hold on to the ball. Please hold on to the ball the whole time he touches it.
And that's it. You don't have to do these things that are extra. Just literally give the ball back to the offense.
The thing is with Kadarius Toney, though, is he is going to be that player. He's going to be the guy that does the crazy things. That's his style of play. He's going to do the crazy knee movements, the crazy shifting.
Yeah, he makes my knees hurt.
And so while, like, I absolutely love that about him, and I think that's what makes him special, it causes him all the injuries he gets, too. So it's really like a, I don't know.
The double-edged sword.
I was just, that's the word I was looking for. Double-edged sword with Kadarius Toney is you're going to get the good and you're going to get the, okay, well, he did that, but now he's.
What was that?
Like, oh, he's kneeling on the sideline again.
What are you going with his three keys to winning this week?
Our offense has to play, and this is going to sound silly. Our offense has to play at least three out of the four quarters. I would prefer 60 full minutes, but they have to at least play three out of the four quarters, right? And I would prefer if they're not going to play a quarter, it'd be the first quarter, just because we can come back. But
comfort zone.
Yeah, it's just a thing. Like, and we need to continue rushing the ball, especially if the weather is going to be gross. We've got to run the ball the whole game. It cannot be where we start in the first half and we're like, oh, we're okay. We have a comfortable lead in the second half and then we stop rushing, which is a weird thing to do. Normally it's opposite, but we've got to make sure we keep beating Pacheco and we need to keep our defense. They're going to do what they're going to do. Like y'all know, I'm not even going to put our defense as a key to the game because it's just like an automatic key to the game. They're so good this year. My keys of the game rely more on the offense because our offense has been the reason we've been losing games. Yeah. So we got to rush the ball. Our offense has to play at least three out of the four quarters, and we have got to keep our offensive targets narrowed down. It cannot be spread out to a million different guys taking like Rashee Rice's, like whatever, 9 targets or 10 targets down to 4. It has to be keep beating the playmakers. And if we need to sprinkle a few different ones out there, sure. But keep feeding the playmakers and let Pacheco run the ball because that opens up everything. It opens up the running the receiving game. It opens up the tight ends. Like you cannot stop rushing the ball. You just can't. So that's my three keys.
Yeah, I agree. I think keep feeding Pacheco because he's going to do his thing. Mm-hmm. I think our O-line really needs to be on point this week because if we watched like anything with the Lions O-line last week, the Green Bay D-line got a ton of pressure on their O-line. Jared Goff was sacked so many times and we know that won't be the case with Mahomes. Knock on wood again. But if it is, Mahomes is way better. He's the best in the league at escaping a sack, right? But I do think our O-line needs to be a key factor in this game. Rushing, O-line. And then I think, like you said, their offense doesn't put a huge scare on me. We lost Jody. Oh.
You guys switched positions. Bye.
I was on mute and I accidentally left.
No, I was like, what happened?
I was like, oh no.
A really long story. I don't even know how I live. I don't know. It doesn't matter.
But yeah, I think their offense doesn't put a huge scare in me. I think their running game is also going to be depleted, but I think our running defense really needs to step it up because that's been the biggest way that teams are scoring on us right now is through the run game. So yep. I need our running defense to step it way up. I know that I think Aaron Jones is probably out. I think AJ Dillon has been going through some injuries, so I'm not quite sure. But either way, I want to see our running defense step it the heck up.
Yeah, I fully agree.
That's a great way to describe it by Aaron. Such a great, like, let's put his comment back up one more time. Seriously, that was.
Can you read it out loud for the people listening?
Yeah, it says, sometimes I think Andy treats his playbook like a restaurant that serves 80 different menu items. Keep it simple and do those things well. Like, you don't need 80 menu items. You need 5.
Because the thing is,
as long as they do it well, right? Like, that was right. Great.
More than 5. But I think it's 5 people. Keep it to 5 people. Don't overthink it. Keep it to Pop, Trav, Rashi, J.Y.
Noah Gray. Yeah. Because when you do that, that's what puts fear into a defense.
Correct.
When you have like 20 different guys running around, these defenses are like, okay, he's not making a play. He's not making a play. Let's go on. Yeah. And then they double team our guys that are making plays. If you have Noah, Travis, Rushy, J-Watt,
Pacheco
that's out it. There, that's all you need.
That's all you need.
And if you want to do something cute and switch it up a little bit, hey,
whatever.
Five more out there for his 2 catches. I'm fine with that.
I'm fine with that too.
One in the second half, and then
but the bulk needs to go to those like to Pacheco, Kelsey, and Bryce, and then you can sprinkle in a little bit more to Noah.
Noah Gray has 0 drops this season. 0 drops. Noah Gray has 0 drops through 13 weeks. And he's only getting like 2 catches a game, 3 catches a game. So it's like, what is going on? But no, I agree. I think those are with the keys to winning. You don't overthink it. Don't overcomplicate the receivers or your offensive pieces that you want to go to. I still think Patrick needs to play a clean game consistently. Yes. So last week was the first week where we didn't see any. Last week was the first week we didn't see anything. I think from Patrick, I need to see him consistently play clean for like 2 or 3 weeks in a row.
Yeah, he looked comfortable after that first quarter.
It looked like he had faith in Rashi Rice, faith in Travis Kelce, faith in Justin Watson. Like, you can see that he had that trust in those dudes. I think the defense, this defensive line, if they don't get some more pressures and get some more sacks and get the ball, like, I need to see the quarterback on the ground for the other team. And I don't know how to nicely say that, but I want to see more sacks in this game. So it feels, and I don't know what that is. I don't know what that is, because in my mind, if Chris Jones is getting pressure with 2 or 3 players at a time, then that should be freeing up for literally anybody else to go and get the sack, and it's still not happening. So I think that is the Nick Bolton effect kind of missing, but I expect Willie Gray or Drew Tranquil or Leo Chanel or one of those dudes to go out there and to go get the sack. So I need to see, and maybe that's the defense holding back until we get into the playoffs. Maybe
Willie
that's
who? Willie who?
Willie Gay.
Okay.
What did
you
I call, say?
You call him Willie Gray.
Willie Gray.
I was like, yay.
No.
I do. That's what I hear.
We both laughed. He's like, it came through Gray.
Willie Gray.
Whoever he wants to be. They need to go and they need to make sure. I need more tackle for losses. These are the things that I need to see. I need them.
I want to see more takeaways.
Yes.
More takeaways.
I was genuinely
doing what they need to do. Like,
I was genuinely expecting. I was genuinely expecting the Chiefs to get a pick off of Aiden O'Connell. I'm
like.
Why? And we didn't, yeah.
Did we not? From AOC? Like, what?
So, once again, I want to expect one this week against Jordan Love. I think there's no reason for one of them to not step up and get a pick. I don't care who it is.
I heard the tickets for that game are, like, really high this week, too. Like, through the
what?
The tickets for that game, I heard they're really high.
Oh, yeah. No, that's a good game. That's a great
game. It's a good game.
We just need our secondary to step up this week. I want to see lights out performance from both sides of the ball, and then I feel like we can really feel great about this team. And yeah, I don't I don't think we'll see Nick Bolton back this week at all. But
I don't think we'll see him until closer to New Year's.
Right. And
I'm glad to see he's back practicing. Like, that's good.
Oh, same. Yeah. And I think he's going to be that difference in the run game that we need, that we're starting for. So
Yeah.
So we need that back. And once we have him back, I think we're going to be that complete unit we've been longing to see this entire season, because everyone does play their roles very well. It's just that one run stopping bit that we need just a little bit more of.
Consistency on.
Just more consistency. But I think we match up really well against the Packers. I think the Chiefs should win pretty big. But that depends on all sides of the ball playing really well. And I think last week was that momentum shift we needed in our team. I think if you heard Mahomes, he wasn't even mic'd up, but he was on the sideline like, this is playoff football. This is what we need to like.
This is championship football. Football. I loved that.
I loved it.
Loved it.
I'm like, just
inject it in the veins.
All right, let's go ahead and get into week 13 games that we want to watch this week. There's not a lot of great football.
And a few good ones.
There's like
some intriguing ones.
Yeah, there's not a lot of great football, but there are a couple that are pretty okay to watch. So first game that will be interesting. We kind of talked about this at the beginning of the show, that Broncos-Texans game in Houston. I think it's in Houston. Really good game this week. Again, this game, two AFC teams going against each other, trying to make it into the playoffs.
And two teams that nobody believed in, really, in the beginning of the season. So this is, it's kind of a cool game, like, you know, like two teams that no one expected anything out of. Though I think we called the Texans, though. We said they could be this year's Jaguars.
We called the game. Isn't this the game that got flexed?
Isn't it Sunday Night Football?
No, it's noon.
No.
Well, that's dumb.
So they moved them from three to noon.
Right? Sorry, I have to coach a soccer game during our football game, so I'm not super excited about it.
They moved this game from 3 o'clock to noon, though. Yes, they moved this game from 3 o'clock to noon.
I didn't understand that.
Yeah, it seems like a weird flex.
No. It's a really good one. So here's why. So the Niners and the Eagles play at 3 o'clock on Sunday, and that is probably the game that all of America.
Oh, yeah.
That does make sense.
The biggest game of the season, right? But they understand that a lot of people want to watch this Broncos and Texans game because it does have so many playoff implications to it. So that's why they flipped them out of the 3 o'clock slot and moved them into the noon slot, because they assume they'll be the game to watch at noon. Then Eagles Niners at 3, and then are we Sunday Night Football?
We are.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm tired. And then us at 7. So when you think of it that way, there's three really good games in each slot.
That's true.
So it makes 100. When I had to sit down and think about it, but then I was like, okay, that makes a lot of sense. And when I looked at like the preview of where that, you know how they always show like the coverage map, that the Texans Broncos game is actually going to cover almost every state except like the upper north.
The East Coast teams.
It makes a lot of sense. So I get it. I believe it. But yeah, Cowboys, Seahawks starting in like
a few minutes.
I think that's going to be a really good game too. I would love to see the Seahawks pull that win out. They're not. I would love to see them pull that out.
I need them to pull it out, but I would really like CeeDee Lamb and Dak Prescott to have another great game for me. Thanks so much.
Okay. Yeah, my parlay. Not even my fantasy football.
I didn't even check my fantasy league. Oh my God, I'm behind.
You are, because I play you. So, hey, you might want to get Josh Allen and Mattson out of your lineup.
You got 6 minutes. Uh-oh. I did my fantasy at like 2 a.m. last night because
really predicted to win this, Chrissy.
Well, you have two people on by at least that are not playing. My team sucks. Okay, like that team was so annihilated by injury. Ooh. It's just like I have a bunch of backup people. Right. Like my second running back is some guy I've never heard of. Like I don't know.
I'll crack it up.
It's so bad.
But yeah, and then Monday Night Football, which was supposed to be good, it is Bengals and Jags.
That would have been such a great game.
That would have been a really good freaking game. Too bad for Joe Burrow. Hopefully he is doing better so we can see him next season.
Has he had surgery or anything?
I think they did say yes, he's had his surgery.
Yeah, I think his surgery was good. That's good news for him. But
good. Let's hope he recovers and is back to his old self.
Yeah.
Right. So let's go ahead and get into score predictions for Chiefs.
Eagles Niners.
Oh, we want to talk about it? I thought we were just highlighting that it was going to be a really good game this week.
Oh, okay. I don't know. I was worried about my fantasy for a second. So my brain
predictions for Chiefs, Packers, and Lambeau.
35-17 Chiefs.
Ooh.
35-17. I was close last week and I suck at score predictions. Last week I said 27-17. And I was very confident last week. I feel very confident about this week.
I'm very happy that we scored 30 points last week.
Yeah, we're going to do it.
Very, very.
If we would have played a first quarter, we would have done it.
Yeah.
Even half a first quarter, we would have done it.
I mean,
I'm feeling it's 30-20. 30-20.
Yeah, I'm actually feeling the same score as last week, 31-17. I think that we scored 30 for sure. And honestly, like, I wouldn't be surprised if our defense held them to 14 or like 12.
Yeah.
Would love.
I think our defense is going to feast this week.
Yeah.
I hope so.
Because the Packers are good, but they ain't like that. So, yeah, calm down on the Packers.
Yeah.
So, I'm crying. Who's gonna say?
I'll say it. I'm excited. So, guys, everyone tomorrow morning, Friday, Red Friday, Big Red Friday, needs to tune in to Fox 4. If you don't have it on your TVs because you're not necessarily local, stream it. You can find it on any browser, I'm sure. They do their brute newscasts and streaming. We are going to be on Fox 4 tomorrow morning on the Red Friday show at 9:15. They're going to ask us some questions about our Chiefs and talk about the podcast a little bit. And yeah, we're going to be on TV, y'all. Woo!
Can't wait.
Hey,
let's go.
We got invited.
9:15 Central Time.
Kansas City time.
Yeah.
Kansas City time. So, but we won't be on there for that long. It's just a quick segment. Yeah, so you have to.
3 to 5 minutes.
You have to be on time. You have to be there early. And then when you're on there, make sure you're like recording and taking pictures and screenshotting and putting on social. And we will reach out as soon as we are able to have access back to our phone.
So, yeah.
Shout out to Fox 4 for reaching out to us and asking us to come on their show for the Red Friday segment this week. We are super excited and we have been holding this in for like 2 weeks and I'm surprised we haven't said anything. So
yeah, we've known since before Thanksgiving. So this is like,
I just want to say, after all we've gone through with this podcast, I'm just really proud of us. I'm really excited for us.
Yeah. There's a lot of work that the three of us have put into this podcast, and a lot of people don't quite know how we started, and there was a little transition and we kind of did everything. We do everything by ourselves now. And it's
just us.
We had some great people who helped us get started, but we went out on our own and we have just been,
watch tomorrow at 9:15.
Hey, you know what a fun fact for everybody is? This will be the first time that the three of us have all been together in person at the same time.
Yeah,
and I've never met Lexi in person. Wow, I've met Jody once. Well, I'm just saying, I'm excited. I get to be with all of them.
I'm so excited.
I'm so excited.
It's really,
I see them both all the time. It's funny. I see them both all the time, and I didn't even live in this state.
Oh, we're not ready for the Kings Queens, all three of us in person. Okay.
It's gonna be crazy. So make sure you tune in tomorrow, Fox 4. Make sure you're signed in or on your TV at 9:10. Record it, take pictures, post it to socials, like Jody said. We are so excited, and it's just going to be great. So
yeah, we are very, very excited. And I just love both of you so much, and I'm so excited for us.
Love Fest.
It's going to be awesome. So definitely tune in.
Packers. It got caught in my hair. I'm having issues here. Let's get to the sponsor. Shout out to the sponsor, Ken Seltzer, first Black-owned seltzer in the United States. Very, very delicious, made of all fruits, no artificial sugars, 95 calories a can. New flavor coming out soon. Let y'all know about that. And you can get it from 13. Actually, no, there's like literally, apparently there's a brand new char bar in Parkville.
Oh. What's a char bar?
Char bar is a barbecue restaurant in Kansas City. That's
Okay. That's not where my brain went. My bad. I'm sorry.
they sell Ken Seltzer in there now and at Q39. So there's so many different places in Kansas City where you can get Ken Seltzer. My favorite place is to get it at Boulevard Brewery, where me and Lexi will be going tomorrow as well. So
I have to go to work afterwards, so that will not be happening for me.
We're just getting more. We're re-upping. That's all. But yeah, if you have not had Ken Seltzer yet, go get some Ken Seltzer. We are going to do a giveaway also coming up very, very soon for Christmas and New Year's. We're probably going to do two. We should just do one for Christmas and one for New Year's. Because
the entire month of December.
Yeah, we could do that. We just got to pick. Okay, so let's do this, right? Whoever can post us from tomorrow and give us a shout out.
There we go.
You guys in a raffle. You got to tag KQ, and then whoever we pick, we'll get them some cans.
That's awesome. Great idea.
Yeah, Lexi, can you post all that?
Yes, I will. I absolutely will.
So I think I like that. Let's do that for the first week of December. And yeah.
We got this. Yeah.
That's awesome. That's a great idea. I love it.
Okay. We got a game in 4 minutes. So
let's
go. We best go.
Get us out of here.
All right, guys. Well, I hope you all enjoy Thursday night football, and I hope you enjoy even more watching us on Fox 4 tomorrow morning. Remember, 9:15 Central Time. Make sure you're there early, and make sure that you post about it so you can be entered into the raffle for our giveaway. Sorry, I couldn't think of the word. Yes. So go Chiefs. Big weekend in Lambeau, Sunday night football. So let's rock it out, Kansas City, and until next time.
Comment to this real quick. Just follow and subscribe on iTunes or Apple Podcasts, Spotify.
We are working on potentially some other ways to help support us so we can help grow and do things like that. And once we have those things all narrowed down, we will let you all know. But we love your guys' support. It means the world to us.
Very soon. We're going to be better and start having reaction shows.
We're just busy bees over here.
We're busy.
We're
busy people.
Listen, if you're not subscribed to our YouTube page, please go subscribe to our YouTube page and watch all of our videos, our shorts, all kind of things. We got a lot of stuff on our YouTube page, which is actually kind of cool. So you can see all of our content from season 1 and season 2.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, until next time, guys, your queens have spoken. See you tomorrow.
Bye, y'all. 9 a.m. sharp.